Welcome to our big crowd tonight. Thanks for joining us for our February 22nd regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. I'd like to call it to order and have a roll call.
Mr. Luke is absent. Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, before we get started, I would like to ask everybody to stand and join me in a moment of silence for the victims of the Florida school shooting, for police officers in Westerville, and for longtime Marysville staff member Jackie Underwood, who just passed away this week as well. So. Thank you. And now we could remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Flag is right over there. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. We'll start the meeting here. Somebody would motion the approval of our agenda for the meeting tonight.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And tonight, we're honored to have a presentation by Creekview Intermediate, Mr. Canale. And before you get started, thank you so much for hosting our meeting here. Looks like you have a book fair going on or something like that.
Book fair is going on. We have a Special Olympics game.
Okay. I wanted.
At the Pack House.
I know. I saw the parking lot. I'm like, wow. Yeah. What kind of presentation?
With all the cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we had a game.
Okay. Game. But yeah, so go ahead. We're excited to hear what you want to share with us tonight.
Perfect. What we wanted to talk about today was the transformation of our classrooms over the last 5+ years. What used to look like our classrooms in this building and in this district several years ago, classrooms were really teacher-centered, adult-centered. The standards and the curriculum sometimes led the discussion, but it was the teacher, the gatekeeper of the knowledge, standing and delivering content to kids who sat in rows, oftentimes passively, and attributes like conformity and compliance were really, really highly valued. When you walk into a classroom, if it was quiet and orderly, you thought, wow, that's the kind of classroom that we want. Mm-hmm. And boy, have we come a long way. Let's talk a little bit about what today's classrooms look like, not just at this building, but we're very proud of the work that's happened in this building, but district-wide. Our classrooms no longer are stand and deliver content by the adult. They're dynamic. Kids are engaged, and we partner with kids in the learning process. We talk a lot in this district about teaching being strategic and intentional. Certainly, it's the standards that drive our instruction, but it's teaching and learning, with learning really being the premium. Students engaged at a higher level, students working really, really hard. You've walked this building. You've walked this building with us. We walk into our classrooms, and kids are working really, really, really hard. We had an administrative retreat this past summer, and Diane was talking, and she said something that resonated with me and with Ryan. Good teachers no longer guess. They know at moment's notice where our kids are academically. They know where our kids are socially and emotionally as well. We are more strategic, more intentional, and we no longer guess about where kids are in their journey. We talk a lot about using data to design instruction, to personalize the learning experience for our kids, and that's it. Data used to be the end game, right? The results on an assessment used to be, this is where the kid is. That's not the way it is anymore. We're using assessment data, observational data, conversations with kids to diagnose and then prescribe instructive support for our kids. So it is very, very intentional. It used to be you took a test, right? And then you moved on to the next unit, the next chapter. Those days are long gone by. Now it's you take an assessment. It gives us an idea of what we need to provide for you so you can show mastery, and you get multiple opportunities, multiple opportunities. Not too long ago, a grade was the average of this test, and maybe some teachers gave a second test, and then they averaged the grades. No more. Right? We get our kids to the finish line. So a lot of work, a lot of transformation is happening in our classroom. A very, very quick video of what this looks like. We walked in, did a quick video, didn't prep the teacher. This is what teaching and learning looks like today in this building and in this district. Kids engage, teachers working with a small group, blended learning tools, computers, strange furniture sometimes in some of our classrooms. Kids have choices on content. It's flexible, it's dynamic, and quite honestly, it's a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, we wanted to talk a little bit about our journey as well, not just with teaching and learning, but how are we creating hope, belonging, connectedness with our kids. Well, we know we can do that with the way we're designing instruction, right? Our moment of silence at the beginning of this evening's meeting, right? We know more so now than ever before, we have to make sure kids are connected to adults, kids are connected to kids are connected to content, we're connected to families. So a couple times a year, we measure our students' sense of connectedness. We do these surveys. Diane asked us to do these. Gosh, we've been doing these for 3 years anyway. Yeah, for 3 years. We study the results. Our kids tell us what they like about our building, what they like about our teachers, what they like about our ability to make them feel safe here at school. We study the results, and then we respond to it. So we understand teaching and learning, but you're not going to get teaching and learning unless our kids feel safe emotionally, unless they feel connected. Spent a lot of time talking about habits of mind. Maybe you've heard presentations. Let's talk about key attributes for learners in this building. These are our habits of mind. Being respectful, being innovative, what supportive looks like as a fifth grader, sixth grade student, what excellence looks like as a creepy student, but as an employee of the building as well. Part of our ability to connect with kids and create kind of a unique experience for them, our habits of mind. As we try to create a really neat experience for our kids, we've developed and designed recognition ceremonies that celebrate student successes and student creativity. We align this with our habits of mind. We're always trying to find opportunities to celebrate successes, develop leaders, embed our core values into our instruction and into the fabric of a Creekview experience, a really sophisticated and thoughtful multi-dimensional layer of support for kids that helps with behavior, but more importantly, it helps with kids feeling relational in this building. How are we doing this? You know, what are we doing administratively to move the needle in the district and in the building? We are intentional about creating collaborative structures where teachers are working together, looking at data, designing assessments, planning for instruction, and that's a premium in this building. We create structures where teachers are indeed working together. We're always revising, redesigning our master schedule so that we're getting as much out of every day as we can. We're creating structures of student support that's personalized using these blended learning tools. This is year two for this building being one-to-one. We were one-to-one in fifth grade last year. This year, every child has a device, and our teachers are able to design very specific supports, instruction, intervention, and enrichment opportunities using this as a tool. Not as the model and the center of content delivery, but as a tool to meet our kids' needs. We have, in this building, been thoughtful about designing what instruction could and should look like. We've created some expectations, some baseline expectations of this is what we want to see in our classroom. And our teachers have responded accordingly. We set and articulate our expectations for operating procedures in the classroom, what the environment should look like. We are absolutely decision makers based on assessment results. Teaching, learning, and instruction is what makes us more connected to our kids. Our teachers have a real clear understanding of homework and grading. No longer do we want to grade on the soft skills of homework or compliance, but we really want to assess kids based on standards and measure them accordingly. Collaboration is a premium here. It's a skill that our teachers are learning, but more importantly, we're trying to grow young leaders as well. We're asking kids to work in teams, do teamwork, collaborate on a regular basis. And the importance of us communicating with families, not just about academic performance, but successes, social and emotional successes as well. We have, for the last 4 or 5 years, used instructional coaches in our buildings. Right? If anything has moved the needle, it's talented coaches in classrooms, working with teachers, to support these really high expectations for what teaching and learning should be. As we think about moving kids and getting the best we can from kids, it's about building teacher capacity. Our instructional coaches are outstanding. We've created some dedicated time in this building where kids are just getting very individualized instruction, either for intervention or enrichment, because sometimes that's a missing piece in the journey of our students. We're going to recognize one of our community partners tonight, but in this building, we've been very intentional about trying to develop, capitalize on the talents and the resources of our business partners. And here are just a couple. I won't read them to you, but everyone on that list, and I'm sure we've missed a few, are contributing to the student experience and the adult experience at this building, including some of our partners from Ohio State, some of our interns that are here tonight and do great work for our kids. Real quick overview of what's happening in this building. We did a presentation for our admin team a week ago that was a lot more detailed and a lot more specific. We're really proud of what's happening in this building. We're really proud of the work our teachers are doing. Really proud of an increase in pridefulness in this building. Very, very pleased with increasing community perception in this building. Very, very excited about the journey that we're going on that Diane and Jonathan are leading us towards. Be happy to answer any questions. I know I went through it quickly.
Can you talk a little bit about culture surveys? I know that wasn't a part of this, and I don't expect you to know the data off the top of your head. But
right.
When I first came, we had long conversations about kind of image of preview and et cetera, and talk about where you were and then what that looks like
today. Yeah, great. So we've been very intentional about attending to the adult culture in the building. 3 years ago, we redesigned our vision statement to really attend to the adult experience. And we recognized that in order for our teachers to take risks, to grow capacity and transform instruction, we needed to pay attention to how our teachers were feeling, pay more attention to it. So we did some book studies. We asked our staff what we could do better to support them We engaged in a lot of cultural activities. We have teams in the building for the last 3 or 4 years designing structures to support and affirm and celebrate teachers. And as we survey, we survey a lot in this building, there has been a transformation in culture as well. That includes all the things that we're doing. But really, our instructional model is getting our teachers to know our kids better. And there's increased job satisfaction when our kids and their needs are being met, not just academically, but socially and emotionally as well. Everyone's feeling a little bit better about the job. Mm-hmm. So, did I answer the question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
The other thing I would say is an exemplar to point out, and he glossed over it, but I think it's definitely worth pointing out, is they designed the model classroom. That's their work. They didn't steal that from someone else. That was something that they put together on expectations for what instruction, classrooms, the student experience should look like. And it's really good stuff. Right? It's really on the forefront of what other buildings have done. Because even as a teacher, you had an experience as a student.
Right.
And so trying to get out of that same experience takes some work and coaching, and I think that that's a great piece, artifact of your work.
And
thank you. If I could. So we had when we used to have old state tests, right? We were a school of excellence. The state tests changed. The content changed. We started getting this stuff called value added. And were we growing kids a year when they were with us for a year? Mm-hmm. And our data wasn't good, right? And then the data wasn't good, and then job satisfaction went down. We had some culture and some climate issues. Mm-hmm. We knew that we needed to do a better job serving our kids, and that was just kind of messy. So we knew that we had to pay attention to culture, but we needed some very specific expectations on what classrooms should look like. And then that kind of was the turnaround. It really was.
Value-added's better.
Value-added's mm-hmm. better. Culture climate's better. Happier kids, more mm-hmm. engaged teachers. It's still, we still got a lot of work to do, but we're on a trajectory of success, and our folks feel it.
I just had a quick on that model classroom. Who, like, did you develop that, or was there a team that
so,
included that?
Great
staff?
Question. I am so fortunate to have some really talented people around me. Ryan Fairman, my assistant mm-hmm. principal, he knows and understands the learning environment. Teaching and learning, our instructional coaches, they really understand what makes for an effective classroom. Mm-hmm. And they have the ability to inspire and motivate teachers and help them to grow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the task was, hey guys, we got to get better. Mm-hmm. Where do we start? And mm-hmm. it was all these things. It was culture and climate and surveying and shared leadership. But it was the instructional coaches, myself, talking about what should a classroom look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of work went into it.
I believe
yeah.
it.
And it's forever refined. Right? Mm-hmm. We're doing things differently this year than we did last year. And I'm sure next year we'll have to revisit this document. We just shared it with staff again with a few other expectations. And now this is a living document that we're all buying into, and it's mm-hmm. we can just tweak it now. It's not we're starting mm-hmm. over ever again.
It's awesome.
Thanks for the questions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
No other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, we have walked through the building, and just listening to some of the staff, some of the comments that I've heard over the past couple of years, I can really sense how much more engaged they are, you know, and obviously it's kind of like that saying, when mama's happy, the whole family's happy, something like that, you know. So
when the teachers
are happy, I think, you know, it helps. I think the students can sense that as well. So
yeah.
It's a really good environment.
It feels really good here.
Yeah.
And we appreciate so much when you guys take the opportunity to walk through and talk with us and see what we're doing. Our teachers love it, too.
Yeah.
So open invitation, please.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to coming back. And I also want to comment, because of your comment about the Florida shooting, is I know how, I mean, every building takes safety so seriously in this district, but I know, you know, Donna has spent a lot of time working on your safety book, and just that understanding of that, the impact of personalized learning and getting to know the students. And so I appreciate the work that you do, and I think our, you know, your families are blessed to have somebody who's so passionate about that.
Thank you. We have a very sophisticated process. Our safety committee, a lot of people involved. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we're meeting to debrief the school shooting. It's going to be an emotional meeting tomorrow morning. It's going to have a lot of tears, I'm sure.
Right.
Teachers scared, nervous, and they just want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect our kids.
Right.
Keep safe.
Did you want to talk about your partner?
Yeah, love to. Yes, yeah, I thought I was going to do this first, so I apologize. So you saw some of our community partners there. Mm-hmm. We had a specific community partnership with Honda Logistics of North America, Kim Miller and her logistics team. Mm-hmm. For the last 3 years, they come to our building two times in the fall, two times in the spring, and they design STEM-type activities that really represent what we're trying to do here, providing leadership opportunities for kids, problem-solving, critical thinking, collaborating and communicating, working in teams. Kim and her team spend a lot of time designing and leading our kids. And over the course of a day, they're working with an entire grade level. Mm-hmm. Over the course of 2 days, an entire building. And they're really talented. And what they're asking kids to do is fun and creative, but it really represents what learning is. And it's risk-taking. Mm-hmm. Teamwork and collaborating. Kim and her team wanted to be here tonight. They're off in another state somewhere doing some logistics work, but we're really proud of that partnership. And I'm going to accept this on their behalf.
Thank you so much, Mr. Canale. Okay, let's get back here. Sorry. Okay, I'm getting there. Okay, next up, I don't believe there's any public participation. Nope. Okay, then we have the Ohio High Point Report and Mr. Chittenden. Hello there.
Good evening, Roy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
So at High Point, boy, we've been sprinting here this winter with a lot of activities, and that's primarily the levy support that we're trying to seek. And so tonight what we'd like to do is show a video that the students helped Dr. Smith make. And so it's actually on our website. And so we'll talk about it here in just a bit. But I'd like to take a minute and show you the video that the students helped make about our campaign.
How High Point Career Center is, you know, serving students for 21st century education to meet the 21st century job demand. We need to make sure that we have the facilities and equipment to meet those demands. Being in a facility that was given to us by our taxpayers in 1974 has been great, but we want to renovate this building and expand because we know that the job market is expanding in our area. Technology is way different than it was 43 years ago. So how we design classrooms and how we present students with those technologies and the opportunity to use those technologies in real-world job-like settings is much more technological, and we have to upgrade our facilities to meet those demands. We also monitor a lot of job boards and talk to a lot of businesses, sit on a lot of business advisory councils that are telling us what those local jobs and what their needs are. We serve 5 counties and 14 different school districts, and so we have a lot of area that is important for us to make sure that we're getting out the very best students possible, because to have successful communities, we need to have successful businesses, and they need successful employees. And so that's part of Ohio High Point's mission, is to lay that foundation of success for students. Over the coming weeks, you will hear more about the great programs at Ohio High Point, and how new and renovated and expanded facilities will allow us to better meet the needs of students and their employers.
So thanks for the opportunity to share that. So it's been a lot of fun to watch the students kind of make that video and really kind of highlight our future for us. So just to recap, there's a 0.6 mil operating levy that we are seeking. We do have a 43-year-old building, and it was built in the early 70s, and so obviously it has a little age to it, and to meet future future educational needs. We feel like we need to expand. It's been our first ballot in 40 years. We have not been to the voters since 1977. It's going to cost taxpayers about $1.84 a month for the average taxpayer. So really, really minimal, but really exciting for that. Also, just to note, in the last 20 years, we've touched over 3,500 students in the last 20 years at Ohio High. So we're excited about it. Dr. Smith is going around to each community and talking, and I know Sue and I had an opportunity just to kind of chat about the Marysville area, but he will be back on March 22nd at the 5th Street Cafe. I've not been there, but he's organizing coffee chats in the mm-hmm. local community just to talk about the levy and talk about the programs. And so it's from 8 to 9 or 1 to 2. And so he'll be in Marysville on the 22nd. And hopefully I can get away from work and go see him. But if you're interested, he'll be there at 5th Street Cafe. All right. A few other things. We had two groups of students really made an impact on us. They both had some involvement with Hurricane Harvey. One group, our media group, actually found a school that was devastated, and through their required testing in the state of Texas, they had to go back to paper and pencil. All of their electronics were just wiped out. So those students sent 300 books and writing utensils down to that school mm-hmm. To try to help them out. We had a local FFA chapter in the district actually physically go down and try to help with cleanup. But the impact that was made, they witnessed students and families living in the gym until their homes were rebuilt. Wow. So two huge community service efforts from Ohio High Point, and I think it really made an impact with students. So it was really neat to kind of hear them present their story for that evening. Mm-hmm. A couple other things here. The treasurer, the board approved the treasurer to pay the Marysville school system a number of dollars, and it's in the report there. But we also approved some textbook adoption for the advanced manufacturing class. So we're ordering and supporting some books for the STEM school. Also, we had an event, kind of a first chance event for new potential students to come. And we had a number of applications. We had almost 300 applications in one night to attend Ohio High Point. So a lot of interest there. Just in general, a lot of visits to local industries to understand STEM and what that offers. I think you're aware that we are having a ribbon cutting ceremony for the Sloan Technical mm-hmm. Center. So you're welcome to come to that if your agenda meets that. And again, it's Wednesday, April 4th from 5 to 6:30. Okay. Any questions? Again, we're sprinting here this spring, mm-hmm. spring and fall, and a lot of activity going on with the levy and trying to support the students at the same time. So.
And there's some exciting new programs coming up too. I think the Auto Tech program working on that partnership and
So a lot of fun things.
Thank you.
Sure. Right.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Okay. Next, superintendent's report. Technologically, whatever.
Right,
disabled tonight.
Okay. Personalized learning, I want to give you an update. K-6, we have completed a drafted continuum of learning. So that will be released to all K-6 teachers on March 7th to gain input as well. So there's a kind of a central team that's worked on the crafting of that, and then it will vet through a process with the larger staff. So that's in all five areas: reading, writing, math, social studies, and science. 7 and 8 continuum is underway. They've done a great job of pulling staff from the lower grades and the upper grades to be a part of those builds, so mm-hmm. that we're making sure essential learnings are laid out that might be needed later as a foundational piece. They'll be completed by the end of the year. Unified Arts will begin next year, and 9 through 12 will also begin next year. So we're on pace with exactly where we wanted to be. Great things are happening in ways of conversations with teachers. I had one at Edgewood the other morning. Basically, they were like, well, wait, now we need a new report card, which is exactly what we knew would evolve out of that. I can't average anymore because I'm going off what the student knows. So it's kind of been a perfect way to go about it. So that work will be on the horizon as well as we move into next year. Early college principal interviews started last week. We had our first round on Friday. We'll be forwarding three candidates to a building level interviews next Monday. Those will include parents, community members, students, some of our partners as well. So we should be on track for a March hire. The third round would come back to the board office. Typically it's me, maybe someone else for that final piece. So excited about that.
And you're happy with the applicants that you've received?
Yeah, and we're really pleased with the three people who are moving forward. So certainly they all come from kind of different perspectives and backgrounds, so it gives a different view, I guess, for parents and kids and staff. I know the staff and students, well, and parents, had a little angst.
Right.
And thinking about Kathy not being there, but I think we have some real talent coming forward to help with that. Thought I would mention last Thursday, Sue and I had the opportunity to be part of the State of the City address, and so that was certainly an honor to be a part of that. I thought that the night was great. I thought our students did a fantastic job talking about kind of their intern experience and their future, and just continue to appreciate that partnership. It was nice to be included in that. Reminder that we have our next levy committee meeting next Tuesday, 5:30 at the library, but that's all coming together well. Stadium project update. We have a fundraising. The fundraising committee is sponsoring, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but they're doing a kickoff event on March 21st. More details to come, I think, as that committee puts the final touches on that. We continue to work with, we actually have a meeting tomorrow to continue to look at the plan and make sure we're using the space efficiently, make sure we have things laid out, and at the same time, you know, stay within our financial means. So we're still in that process. The plan would be on the 21st to be able to unveil a 3D image that could be shared at that gathering. I also wanted to give you a quick update on ECOT students. We had 34 students from our school district that were enrolled in ECOT. 19 thus far have enrolled either in our school district or another school district. 6 here, 1 moved to homeschool, and the rest are a various assortment of online options. We're still in contact to try to reach out. There have been phone calls made, and a lot of the phone numbers we have aren't good anymore. Everyone's received at least one mailing from us. So we still are in search of the remaining students, but some of them have been gone for some time, which makes communicating difficult.
Right.
But we are staying on that and letting them know of the options we have available as well.
Good.
That's all I have.
Okay. Let's see. Treasury report.
I don't really have a whole lot to report tonight. Diane hit on a couple of the items, so you know we're still working hard on the kind of planning for that special event on March 21st. So more to come on that. She also hit on the ECOT closing and kind of the impact that's had on us. I think ODE is. I think they're kind of playing it by ear and how they're handling this. And you know I kind of keep an eye on it as it impacts our funding. And comparing our January foundation report to February, that deduction line, which we want to be smaller, that deduction line went down by $126,000. So that was really good. But at the same time, you know, that's because they took all of those ECOT students who live in our district and now no longer are going to ECOT, so that all shows up. But most, you know, not all of those students are going to end up back in Marysville. So I'm assuming in when we get our March statement, then, you know, those students who are now here, that still is a benefit to us financially because that deduction won't be here. But if some of those students decide to, you know, attend another online school or whatever the case would be, some of that would end up coming back. So I think that number's still in flux, but it definitely has reduced that deduction. So that's good. I think the other items I'll just talk about when we get to my section. So
okay.
That's all.
Okay. For my report, let's see. We had a community coffee on February 10th, I think.
Yes.
Amy and I covered that and just had a really nice morning. We had three people. Well,
and then one that kind of joined us just to hang out.
Yeah, yep.
That had been there before.
It was not, you know, I mean, the positive comments that we heard were just kind of reinforced, I think, the importance of making ourselves available. Mm-hmm. And then positive comments about what they're experiencing as parents and what their students are experiencing. You know, a couple concerns that we talked about, and I think what's nice is that the concerns, they said they had gone through the right chain of command. They talked to teachers, they talked yes. to principals, and they wanted us to be aware. But you know, then if there was anything else that was needed, there was follow up that happened.
Right.
And so again, I just think it's kind of a nice additional option for people to come and talk in a little more informal setting.
Got the follow up for the
group meeting.
Nice. That was awesome.
Right. So just a lot of good communication because we're a governance team. You know,
right.
We just want to make sure that we're always improving and listening to what people have to say. So that was good. Our next one is going to be March 10th, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
That's correct. March 10th.
Okay. Let's see. Some other things that happened since our last meeting. They had a STEAM night at the Early College High School. I know a couple of us were able to attend that, and it was a nice opportunity for those students to showcase just a variety of different artistic types of things, whether it be videos or drawings and writings and things like that. But that was nice. Also wanted to mention that the Marysville Hall of Fame had their induction, and they have a new kiosk that's at the high school, and it's kind of a portable thing, so it's going to be in different places throughout the building, but it has information, historical information about all of the inductees, and I think that's a nice addition to our district. And also the Marysville Showcase, they had their event, I think that was the weekend after our last meeting, and just had a lot of talent there, and it makes me feel proud. I go out there, it's such a nice venue, and I think everybody really has a good time out there, and they're appreciative of our setup and the people that work at the volunteers. So then some of our opportunities for involvement, we've got some emails from Ia, our Japanese instructor, and we have six finalists in the Japanese speech contest, and that's coming up on March 10th. She's going to send some more information so we have an idea of what that time is, but that competition happens in Dublin. FFA banquet is coming up on March 17th. The evening of Japanese culture is going to be April 7th. So again, just a lot of nice things for us to be able to attend to see what's happening in the district. We had a chamber meeting at the last chamber meeting. Mrs. Cooper from High Point attended along with three students who talked about their intern, talked about the intern program and the experiences that they've had with that. And then afterwards, several people made some more positive comments about the district. They talked about Tri-Academy specifically, and also talked about how Kathy McInnes, the principal at Early College High School, was going to be presenting on business culture at the Marysville Business Association meeting. And my boss, Dave Allrath, attended that and said Kathy did a great job. You know, and so it's kind of clear when you say how people have a little angst at the idea of her not being the principal there. She just She really understands that whole idea of culture in the building. Let's see. Oh, and then sticking with the chamber, once again, their annual dinner was scheduled for April 19th, which was going to be our April meeting date. So I did text you all, and we are going to be moving to two meetings in April, the 12th and the 26th. And we haven't decided which one is going to be recognition and which one's going to be business, but generally that's when we do our Good Apple Awards in April. So we thought that might be a good opportunity to really just focus on recognition for one of those and business on the other. I attended the Board Member 201 training on February 3rd. And again, that's if anybody's ever interested. I know Nan went to that before, but it's just kind of a nice refresher. They talked about how the chain of command builds trust, encourage discussion, mutual respect. They had a section on policy hot topics, transportation presentation, talked about the Sunshine Law, Robert's Rules, and ethics. And then actually had another board person, another board president there, asked me to send them a copy of our board protocol. You know, as we talked about the importance again of that, you know, chain of command and communication. So that's all that I have. Lots of that in there. Any questions? We'll move on to the legislative report then, Mr. Smith.
Well, I appreciate the fact that everybody's moved the meeting along, so that gives me more time.
Okay.
some more information about my trip. I had an opportunity to go to the National School Board Association Advocacy Institute in Washington, D.C. Super Bowl weekend, and in the folder I gave you, it identifies all the legislative priorities, and this year the National School Board identified about 8 or 9 different areas. Career technical education, special ed education, the Every Student Succeeds Act, educational choice, higher education, and then they touched on things like immigration and net neutrality and infrastructure. The gentleman, Pat Szymanski from WIDA, that I was paired with for our visits, we took all of these and kind of fit them into 3 different kind of categories to talk to both of our senators as well as our congressional representative, and really focused on trying to ask them to, as they looked at these issues, to respect local school boards' ability to make good decisions and to not become too directive from Washington, but allow education to be a state and local driven issue. We encourage them to support financially special education, the nutrition programs, lunch programs, and so forth. We thank them. There's been some relaxation in some of the nutritional guidelines, and hopefully that has had a positive impact in our district. On educational choice, we kind of both focused in on that presentation, and I was able to use a couple of documents from KnowledgeWorks, a single page that talks about partnering with businesses and higher ed, and another one that talks about personalized learning. And so in addition, I gave you copies of the 3 letters that were given to Representative Jordan, Senators Brown and Portman. But in addition, I was able to also highlight our district and what we're doing and encourage them to support developing choice within the public school districts, that when a school district takes the opportunity to expand choice, to create different pathways for students to engage with businesses in the community and even outside of the community, partner with higher education, we create some real positive environments for people. And our treasurer, Todd Johnson, was able to give me some information on the number of students that have were losing to open enrollment to other school districts, and those that were coming here as a part of open enrollment, also the online schools were part of those that we lost. And I was able to say that you know, open enrollment has encouraged kids to come to our school district, but maybe more importantly, what we've seen is a decrease in the number of students that are leaving our district. And so I said, we haven't really, as far as I know, done a whole lot of research, but at least anecdotally, it looks as if parents are making a choice that the public school system, Marysville, is the right choice for their kids. Mm-hmm. And that's what we hope to do. We want to be the best option for parents to choose. And we will go more than continue to work on that. I thought we got a very positive response in the meetings that we had. We had an opportunity to briefly speak with all three of the elected officials. Had more time to speak with members of their staff. Tomorrow, Ellen Short from Senator Brown's Columbus office will be here, and we'll be touring some of the buildings in our school district and getting firsthand view of personalized learning and some of the innovative and very effective educational things that were Mr. Canale was talking about earlier in our meeting. So I'm looking forward to that. I've had a couple of meetings with Dorothy Palanda and meeting with Dave Burke since Christmas, and have tried to stay in touch with them. We've got some bills that are moving forward in the legislature here in Columbus. Two of them that Dorothy felt were going to move forward were House Bill 343 and House Bill 371. House Bill 343 deals with challenging the property value, and it would require school boards to vote individually to challenge that. And I explained that there's a process with board of review that's currently in place, and that from my perspective, it was adding a political decision to something that really ought to be pretty straightforward and objective. Mm-hmm. How does a piece of property compare with most recent sales to determine its value? 371 exempts property that has been subdivided from having a tax increase until construction begins on that property. And the issue there is that when the property is purchased and then subdivided, and they start advertising lots for sale and building sites and so forth, the value of that property goes up. Mm-hmm. But this law would not allow that increase in value to be taxed. The tax burden is spread throughout every property owner in the community. And so if a property owner's land is valued below the its true value, then everybody else has to pay more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. I know that there's a lot of support for both of these bills in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. And I have raised concerns and said, you know, these are some things that I would like them think about as they consider how they're going to cast their votes on this. Those two bills have been passed out of the Ways and Means Committee and probably going to be voted on the floor sometime in the next month or two. And we have a fairly short window because after about May, the legislature will go their separate ways until after the elections. So between now and May is going to be busy, and there's going to be a lot of push to get things done. Most recently, there was the introduction of House Bill 512 that would combine the Department of Education, Department of Higher Education, and the Governor's Office of Workforce Transformation into the Department of Learning and Achievement. It would reduce the role of the state school board and the state superintendent. OSBA has raised a number of reservations about that. I've not had any discussions yet, but plan to find out some more about this. And if anybody has questions, comments about this, please let me know, and I'll make sure that I ask those and that we can, you know, get some information back on that. But that would be a real significant change. And there was an article in the Columbus Dispatch that kind of raised the question, why?
Yeah. Who brought?
It was introduced by Bill Reneke, a Republican from Tiffin.
Okay.
And in the newspaper article, and I haven't talked to Representative Reneke, but in the newspaper article, his goal was to try to improve workforce development within the public school system, try to make sure kids were ready for jobs and ready for employment.
Mm-hmm.
The contact I've had with the Department of Education and the Department of Higher Education,
mm-hmm.
So forth, those people work in different worlds.
Yeah.
They deal with vastly different issues. Colleges and high schools and elementary buildings don't function in the same way, and they have, in many cases, very, very different objectives, sometimes conflicting objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And taking all that, trying to put that under one roof,
yeah.
I think we need to look at it very carefully.
Yeah, I agree. It's like that whole idea that one size does not fit all, you know?
Yeah, I've got a big fat head. And, you know, the ball caps that say one size fits all looks like a bean. So, anyway.
Okay. That's it. Well, thank you for the time that you spent in Washington, D.C., and excited to hear about Sherrod Brown's office, somebody from his office being in the district.
Yeah.
That'll be
hopefully. I did extend invitations to all three of the elected officials, and I'm working with their staff to see if they have interest in coming to Marysville.
Yep. Good stuff. Safety and Drug Committee report.
Well, I've given you all the paperwork that I brought from the coalition meeting this week. As the postcards here. And if anybody's interested in, I have extras up here. With the proms coming up, with graduation coming up, this is something we want to get out and also get it out like to the faith-based community. They can be putting them for the parents at the churches and things like that. So that just kind of brings an alertness to all of our activities coming up, that parents are on top of it. Also, Memorial Hospital, I believe, is going to be making some appointments. Am I correct on that with the ADs? And stuff on going through the opioid treatment with students and their injuries. Back in August, on August 17th of last year, they did do prescription rules to minors. They can only give out 5 opioids at one time to minors for an injury, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to educate our parents is that ask questions. You know, is there another alternative? What mm-hmm. what are our other alternatives besides giving these kids mm-hmm. opiates? Because most of the opiate dependency starts with them being young mm-hmm. and having an injury and just giving them over an extended period of time. So you can read all this, what every parent needs to know, what every athlete needs to know. And I think we need to get all of this out to our parents and athletes yeah. that there are other options.
You know, the other thing I think about is just what do you, if they do prescribe more than is needed,
right.
make sure that they know what to do with those leftovers. You know, don't leave them sitting in your house.
Right, and that's on so, here as yeah. well, that they can take them yeah, right, and right. dispense of them.
Right. But
now the law is that they cannot give any more than five mm-hmm. at the first injury, you know, appointment. Mm-hmm. Which is great because I think we're starting to get a grasp on it. And these are the grassroots that's going to reach out and stop doing this. So anybody interested, there's some literature up here you can take.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. Next up, I need a motion to approve our minutes from the January 18th meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Power.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any questions, comments? Corrections? Nope. Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Power?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, need a motion to approve the treasurer action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Power?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Mr. Johnson, have anything to you'd like to talk about in here?
Yeah, financials are running well. I think we are, for the most part, running, expenditures are running below budget, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a pretty good benchmark on revenue when we get to March because we'll get our final real estate tax settlement from the county, so then we'll really see where we ended up in the year for that, which is one of our big revenue items. So far we seem to be on track. A couple items in the appropriations, you'll see we received a $50,000 special education grant, so that's mm-hmm. great news. Our special ed department applied for that grant and received that. That's going to be used to kind of redo we kind of have a coffee shop / school store at the high school,
mm-hmm.
Which is also part of the special education program with our students helping run those things. And then also a large increase in our PI fund, our permanent improvement fund. There's going to be, we just recently had our meeting with the maintenance department in terms of the projects that they're going to be doing in the upcoming summer and school year, so this will allow them, if any of those things they need to maybe get an early start on, like such as the paving projects and things like that. You probably noticed that we just added the purchase of 3 school buses to mm-hmm. the agenda, so this appropriations increase will also allow for that. The timing of that so is in part due to, you know, we had the bus accident in right. Mansfield, and we had another incident where a bus was rear-ended, which took that bus out of commission. So our transportation department was really scrambling to get all the needs met with the buses we had. So in essence, of those 3 buses we're purchasing, 2 are actually from the 19 buses. Budget in the PI forecast, so really they're just buying those a few months early.
Okay.
1 is actually we let them borrow ahead from the 20 to the fiscal year 20 budget, so we're actually kind of advancing them a bus due to these buses that are, you know, basically out of commission.
Okay.
So we've adjusted the forecast accordingly. Really, it's just a matter of, you know, moving dollars ahead, and right now we're in a position we're able to do that. And that's all for me, unless there's any questions.
Okay.
I do want to comment on the coffee, special ed kids. I had an opportunity to speak to the chamber leadership institute that they ran, and they had a presentation about the special education department here, and they had that available. And so everybody went out and got coffee and so forth. And the kids were real excited about the opportunity to be able to serve the adults that were there. And it was a great opportunity for the people that were part of that chamber program to really see kids getting some hands-on business training, learning how to serve customers and how to interact with others in a very appropriate manner and make sure that their service was good. And you could tell there was a lot of planning and preparation that went into getting ready for their service and so forth. So that that was fun, and I enjoyed having an opportunity just to see that taking place in there. So that's you know, when you brought that up as an item in the budget or in the financial part, that's a good deal.
That is good. Nice. Okay, any other questions about financials? And roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Diane?
So we have several HR items. Just want to mention one retirement in particular, Ruth Shortell, who's given many years of service to students and families here in Marysville. So I'm going to keep her in our thoughts as she moves on to new things. But certainly wouldn't want to miss the opportunity to recognize her tonight.
Exactly.
Also, supplementals. You have policies, some first read policies. There's also a policy on for, we've talked previously about our business advisory council running through the ESC in partnership with our compact work at Columbus State Community College. So that is on as well this month. The new buses actually falls under my category, but Todd wanted to talk about those with the PI part. We have overnight trips on as well. These are major. Did you have any questions on policies? I know there was some conversation before.
Yeah, I had that. Yep, I just asked a quick question. Did you want to?
Yeah.
Sure. this was on the first, on one of first read ones. So we have the second read ones. I think there was like five or six that we had our first read last month. So yes, then when I saw the new ones, I did have a question on that one.
Clarification for EBC, that just brings us up to speed with the state mandated emergency operation plans that have to be submitted to the Department of Education on an annual basis.
Right.
So EBC covers that new mandate by the state.
Right.
And then with the EBCR, the regulation, that sole focus is now the other protocols or rules that have to be in place for other aspects, not a part of that emergency operation plan that's submitted.
Okay, so that's why some of those sections were just taken out of there. So,
correct.
Okay.
All that now is just in EBC.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Thank you for that clarification. I would just advise, you know, everybody to make sure you read over those first read ones as well, in case you would have any other questions. You can get that clarified before we would vote on those next month. I just noticed I wanted to make a comment about, I know we had some volunteer coaches on there who the booster groups aren't going to support them, and it just reminded me how much I appreciate the program that you put on for our booster groups. Anybody who wants to come and learn about how you handle these things legally, so I just appreciated that. It's because we certainly appreciate the people who are willing to put so much time into offering some more opportunities for our kids, whether it be lacrosse, bowling, etc. So wanted to do a shout out for that. Any other questions? No. Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Bonney?
Yes. Motion carries. And we are now to the comments and questions from board members. So, Mr. Smith.
Last year, I brought everybody a pen from the National School Board Association, and I brought you another one.
Thank you.
I will tell you that if you grab the blue end and pull, it's got the little rubber tip, you'll find that there's a highlighter underneath. You've got to pull the cap off.
Oh, I was pulling the little. I thought that was for your. For your.
Actually, broke mine.
You did? Now you can't use it on your computer.
I think there's. Brian's not here, and I think his is.
Trade mine out for him.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Brian won't know. That's what you get from missing, right? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
But I really appreciate board support in going. I think it's a real worthwhile effort. There were about 36 people, 30 school board members from around the state. Mm-hmm. And not only do we have an opportunity to look at legislative issues on the national level and have an opportunity to try to bring a perspective to our elected officials, which is the basis of democracy. Mm-hmm. But we also had opportunities to interact with one another and talk about issues that are taking place in the state of Ohio and things that are going on in individual districts. And so I appreciate very much the opportunity that you provided for me to be able to go and do that. I mentioned earlier the leadership program that had one of their sessions was to focus on education, and I had an opportunity to sit in on several presentations, and the people that represented various pieces of our school district on that day did a fantastic job. I can tell you, in talking with the senators and representatives from Ohio, talking to their staff members, when they see and hear what we're doing in this community, in this school district, they're blown away. You start talking to them about the opportunities that our kids have, and their eyes get really big with excitement. And, you know, that speaks well for our superintendent and our treasurer and all the administrators and all the teachers and staff, custodians and cooks, because everybody has their role, and none of it works if everybody doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of really hardworking people in this district, and they're making a lot of good things take place, and it is a real pleasure to be able to sit down with people. Had an opportunity to talk with the person from the National School Board Association that writes the national policy, and was explaining a little of what we were doing, and she was just in awe. She said, this is a school district that I need to find out more about. So, mm-hmm. Anyway. You know, I've got an opportunity to go to Raymond. Kind of missed a chance this week to get up there, but we'll be there next week. And looking forward to that. Thanks to Mr. Fairman, Mr. Canale for hosting tonight. Appreciate that. And very excited about all the things that are taking place here. You guys are doing a good job.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay.
I'd like to thank you, Mr. Canale, for hosting. And I want to thank you again for the tour that I took here a few weeks ago. It was really informative. Had a chance to pop into many classrooms and take a look at some of the new engaging learning areas here within the building. Talked to a few staff members, so mm-hmm. It was a great experience. Just a reminder, upcoming community coffee is March 10th and then April 14th. And again, the Sloan Tech ribbon cutting ceremony is April 4th. So I've RSVP'd. I'll be attending.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to ride share, I'd love to do that.
I'm there.
And the School Board Association Leadership Institute is in Columbus on April 20th and 21st. And I was planning on letting Donna know that I'd like to attend this year.
Okay, good, great. Thank you for hosting. It's nice to see all the progress over these 3 years that you're bringing together. So, both of you, thank you. I'm just really kind of excited, and I think Jonathan can probably, with our meeting with this opioid problem, because I work in it every day, I see the way it devastates lives. And I'm really excited for Memorial to come in and start giving talks to the ADs, the sports teams, maybe get the parents also in a talk and stuff, because I think if we can get that under control, we might start getting to where we won't have as many juveniles coming into my department.
You know, I just found this amazing because I was, maybe we were interviewing somebody, but I had a lady who talked about she had gone to something where they were showing different types of fake containers that kids use to store things. You know,
I'm
thinking, you know, we've had meetings in Marysville on that subject for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And she had just learned about it. So, importance of having them come and continuing to talk to the parents.
I think it's also a good idea. Maybe we even have, like, Franklin County guys come in and bring all of that in.
Yeah.
You know, these street smart.
Right.
Because there's the everything from Coke cans to...
Yeah.
I mean, when I search cars, we go through lugs and bolts and everything, because it's amazing how those little trinkets turn and then
they
boom.
They can get pretty creative.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
And that's it.
Okay. Good job.
Anything more for me?
Nothing. Okay. Well, let's see. I want to thank Creekview. It's so exciting. You know, I've been coming to this building since it opened when my kid was in the first class, and just witnessing the change in the environment and atmosphere. I just couldn't be happier and more proud of what you're doing here. So, thank you. And also, I noticed in the building notes that Edgewood is going to have a visitor, I think on Monday, somebody who's coming in because they're interested in seeing our PACS program. And so that was, you know, it's always nice.
From the governor's office.
Yeah, from the governor's office. So that was exciting to see that. And really just wanted to comment on the work on that learning continuum. You know, I mean, I know that's one of your goals, but I just remember at the beginning of the year when you talked about how this is really going to be hard work, you know, and just knowing how people have rolled up their sleeves and jumped in 100% to work on this we know it's going to benefit our students, but I think, you know, just based on some of the conversations we've had, the teachers are so excited too, and so that's good to hear. So, yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay.
How about a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries, and our meeting is adjourned.